أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners and viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, God willing, we are going to talk about Islam, a comprehensive religion. Prior touching this topic seriously, let me begin having a brief revision of what we have said so far. We have touched the question of religion. Is it necessary that a person should seek true religion or not? Second, we touched the significance or the high significance of seeking true religion. Third, fundamental principles of Islam or fundamental principle of a religion in those of the secondary and peripheral issues were addressed. Then we say that the human beings, in order to pursue perfection, should have worldview. We are in this worldview, they have a particular look at human in the universe. No philosophy of life or no school of thought making no difference, it should be divine or human-made. They are in dire need of worldview, and they are in dire need of anthropology, cosmology. Then we say that since having a worldview is inevitable, it is something that can never ever be overlooked, so Islam has its own perspective on cosmology and on anthropology. In another sense, Islam being a comprehensive religion, being a comprehensive school of thought, has its own interpretation, has its own exposition of the world and the man. So responding this question, we say that Islam accepts man with the characteristics as follows. First, man is not a terrestrial or temporal being only. It is composed of spiritual and physical components. This is first. Secondly, human beings are possessing pure and sinless disposition and nature. They are intrinsically pursuing perfection and monotheistic beliefs. Third, they have free choice and free will. We do not believe in fatalism. We do not believe in predestination. The fourth, the human beings are responsible. In thence, they will be held accountable. And the fifth is the principle of compensation. Their good and bad deeds will be compensated in this world and the life hereafter. The evildoers will not be left without any punishment, and the good doers will not remain without rewards. The best rewards. The sixth characteristic that man has in this worldview, that is, a bright future is awaiting for humankind. Though you might argue that the history of the human being is filled with dark pages and with very, very vicious incidents and events. But again, according to Islamic perspective, a bright future is awaiting for a human being. As you know, as the history passes, as the time passes, we witness that the human beings become more alert of one another. They sympathize with every oppressed, with every orphan, with every divorced woman, with every child. Why? Because this is something that Almighty Allah has equipped the human being with. This is what Almighty Allah has given for every humankind, that they should sympathize, they should go towards Almighty Allah. The seventh characteristic of man in this worldview is that human beings' honor and dignity should be kept and should be preserved. Their honor and dignity should never be violated by any means, by any pretext or pretense. The last important feature of the Islamic worldview is that human beings are given full freedom, and they are given this virtue of choice that they should make their own choices. Even if they go towards Almighty Allah, again, this must be based on their own freedom and free choice. As it was said in the earlier sessions, piety, piousness, God-fearing, virtues, trustworthiness, all these can never ever be imposed on people. The people should themselves make themselves ready, their spirit, their moral, to have these all virtues. To have these virtues. This is very much important. So this was about the Islamic perspective on man, that how man looks like in the Islamic perspective. Now let's see what cosmos or what universe looks like in the Islamic perspective. Islam defines or looks at universe with the following four characteristics. The first, all are created by Almighty Allah. This is first, that every other existence we witness in this universe, all are created by Almighty Allah. The second is that all the phenomena we witness, they will not remain forever. They will not last forever. All other creatures are subject to change. Everything or in every phenomenon in this world has its own period of expiration. They will expire a day. They will once expire. Even the whole universe are subject to annihilation, subject to change. The third important feature of this world from the Islamic perspective is that existence is not tantamount, is not equivalent to materialistic and to temporal existence. There are some existence that they do not have temporal nature. They are supernatural. They are transphysical. They are not physical. This is the third important feature of this perspective. And the last important feature in this perspective is that all the creatures are created purposefully. All are pursuing and all are going for their own perfection. None of the phenomena in this world is without any purpose, without any target, without any goal. No, all are created with specific purposes. So these were the important lessons we have touched in this series of debates. So today, God willing, we are going to touch this important topic that Islam is a comprehensive school of thought. Islam is the most complete religion the human beings have ever. You know that every school of thought or every philosophy of life should include some three dimensions or should cover all human aspects. So Islam covers for this that this religion includes three important features. The first is those fundamental principles of thought, those fundamental principles which address our basic and our fundamental questions. And those are aqa'id, those are Islamic, those are doctrinal, we can say, instructions. Islam comprises instructions which purify our thoughts. And it makes our thought free from every kind of superstitious beliefs. It makes our thought free from every kind of filthy thoughts. This is the first. Secondly, Islam encompasses those moral values and moral laws which everyone should inculcate in himself. You know that moral values and moral aspects of everyone's life is a very important issue that must be taken into account. No one, no human should say, or no one is free from this God-given disposition. So Islam has moral do's and don'ts. Islam covers our moral and ethical issues. The third important feature that Islam covers is the practical law, which deals with our behavior, which deals with our practical steps we are taking in our worldly and our daily life. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, when we say that we have such kind of disposition that is given by Almighty Allah, so may this question arises in your mind that if such a God-given disposition is there with every human being, so why all are not monotheist? So why all the human beings do not have monotheistic approach? Why there are a huge amount of people that they are atheists, they are disbelievers, or sometimes they are skeptic? So, to answer this question, it should be said that the presence of disposition does never ever mean that our disposition should always be active and alert. No, sometimes this disposition that Almighty Allah has granted us, they are sometimes passive. And this passiveness is due to, for example, some environmental pressures or due to some circumstances that he is living in. That is either because of his parents' do's and don'ts or the way he is brought up by his parents. And sometimes it might be because of following his own personal desires and drives. Those sorts of desires that do not let him develop and grow his divinely given disposition. So there are many factors and there are many causes that bring about wrong thinking. So why the human beings drill from the straight path, why the human being are not entirely monotheist, there are many factors, there are many causes. The Holy Quran says that there are some five factors behind wrong thinking. The first is the human being's reliance on conjecture rather than true knowledge. Almighty Allah said in one of the verses of the Holy Quran, let me tell you, that is Surah Al-An'am, verse number 116. Almighty Allah says in this verse of the Holy Quran that most people are such that if you follow them, they will lead you astray from the right path because they rely on conjecture only. So Almighty Allah forbids the human being following their conjectures, following their guesses, following untrue or false knowledge. One of the reasons that human beings have derailed from their God-given intrinsic nature, and that is monotheistic nature, that is that they have followed their conjectures rather than true knowledge. Almighty Allah said in another verse of the Holy Quran, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. This verse is very, very important for us. In order to be guided to the straight path, we have to take precious and priceless lessons from this verse of the Holy Quran. Almighty Allah says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. It means, do not follow that of which you have no knowledge. Indeed, the ear, the eye, and the heart, each will be questioned. Surah Bani Israel, verse number 36. So it means that not only we as a whole, but every organ of our existence, every organ of ours will be held accountable of what it produces, that the judgment. So our judgments, our evaluation, all our sayings must be based on true knowledge. We should be certain, and then we have to issue verdicts. Unless we are not sure, unless we are not having some true knowledge of something, we are not allowed to issue verdicts, to say that this is right and this is wrong. Neither we are given to issue positive verdicts, nor that of negative. Approval and disapproval must be based on true knowledge. For every organ, our eyes, our ear, everything will be held accountable. So it makes a very huge difference that we should never ever follow our conjectures. Rather, we have to be bound on true knowledge. This is the first important cause that Almighty Allah says, one of the basic reasons that the human beings have derailed from the straight path, that is their reliance on conjecture rather than on true knowledge. The second important cause that again causes wrong thinking, that is bias and base desires. You should know that every one of us should seek truth. And of course, when we found the compelling evidence for any truth, we have to submit it wholeheartedly. We have to receive it wholeheartedly, without any questions. Of course, if there are compelling evidences and if there are some very trustworthy arguments, so we should submit it. As these usuliyun, those who develop the logic of jurisprudence, they have a very nice saying. They have a very good aphorism. And that is, نحن أبناء الدليل نميل حيث يميل. We are the sons of reasons or arguments. Wherever it bends, we would submit, making no difference this and that. But we have to have this logic, we have to have this argument in front of the human being, in front of the society, and more importantly, in front of Almighty Allah, that we have accepted this or we have negated that only for the sake of these reasons, these reasonable reasons and arguments. We should not say that it is due to my familial affiliation or it is due to this that my forefathers have said. As it was said in those fundamental principles of religion, that Almighty Allah would never accept this argument from you that you have accepted Islamic fundamental principles for the sake of your forefathers' sayings and recommendations. No, it will not be accepted. Rather, you yourself should be convinced of those truth. You yourself should be convinced of the true nature of those arguments. Otherwise, your pretext and your pretense will not be accepted, neither by other individuals, nor by the society, and nor by Almighty Allah. So the second important factor that causes wrong thinking, that is bias in base desires. We should, in the face of the truth, or in the face of seeking the truth, we have to be impartial. we should be unbiased, we should be unprejudiced. We should be like a very clean plane or a clean video cassette that it records whatever it catches. In the face of the truth, we should not be partial, we should not be biased. We have to leave them aside. If it is said that we can never ever leave our preconcepts or we can never ever leave behind our pre-assumptions, at least we have to be aware that sometimes our pre-assumptions or our presuppositions, our forefathers' worldview or ideology, they should never affect our understanding of the truth, our understanding of the religion. This is very much important, that we have to be alert that this presumption and biasness, it affects hugely on our understanding of the truth. So we should be like those impartial and just judges who judge in accordance with the evidence that are made available for him. Both the parties bring their own evidence in their documents. And his judgment is based on the truthfulness of those evidence and those documents they bring. If the judge was not able to keep his impartiality or his unbiasedness, justice will be victimized. He will not be able to establish justice then, because his personal desire or his biasness would affect his judgment. If he said that, okay, one of the parties is your brother case, or one of the parties is your relative, of course, it will affect the final verdicts he issues. Because he says, so I have to preserve, I have to keep the interest of my brothers, this and that. So many, a huge amount of expediencies will come in his mind that will shape his verdict. So this is very much important. To leave aside wrong thinking, we should never ever be biased in the face of seeking the truth. The second factor that prompted wrong thinking, that was that he who follows his biasness and he who follows his presuppositions, he might fail sometimes to find the truth, because he sometimes would go and partially and prejudicially would follow other inclinations, other tendencies, or other school of thought. Another important factor is haste. So it is said in the proverb that haste makes waste. So we should never make haste while making judgments. So Almighty Allah has also said that whenever you say something, whenever you desire to judge about something, you should never make haste. For this, that making haste will hamper or will ban you from reaching the truth. It is of high significance that we should not make haste, for haste makes waste. Another important feature that causes wrong thinking, that is traditional thinking and looking to the past. Sometimes the people find it very much easy to follow and to imitate their forefathers in the previous generations. It is hard for them to adapt to new, we can say, expressions, to new interpretations, to new ideas, beliefs, this and that. But Almighty Allah says that you should always rotate around the truth, making no difference the past generations found it or not. Almighty Allah said in a verse of the Holy Quran that is very much interesting, in Surah Baqarah, verse number 170, in response to the people who have said that we do not accept the divine prophets, we follow what we found our forefathers in. He says, he quotes, "We follow the tradition of our forefathers." Almighty Allah says, what? Even though their forefathers did not understand anything and had no guidance, again, are you going to abide by their norms, or are you going to follow their path or footsteps, even if they had no guidance? Almighty Allah says it is illogical. It is irrational that you should abide, or you should follow your forefathers only for the sake of being forefathers. No, you should rotate around the truth. You should seek the truth and you should accommodate yourself with the truth. So it is very much important. We have to seek the truth and we have to accept the truth. Even if it goes against our forefathers' beliefs, our forefathers, we can see actions or customs. The fifth important factor which causes wrong thinking, that is the cult of personality. The cult of personality means that some people are made as an idol. Some people are made as idols. And the people may find it hard to cross from their personality. But Almighty Allah says, do not think of them. You yourselves will be held accountable. Yourselves will be made responsible of your deeds. Almighty Allah says in this verse of the Holy Quran, Surah Ahzab, verse number 67, when our Lord throws some of the people in the hell, then they will say, our Lord, they will say, our Lord, we obeyed our chiefs and great men who misled us from the right path. It was our chiefs, the bosses, these and that. They did not go for finding convincing arguments for the fundamentals of the principles or for their beliefs. Rather, they said, we have to obey these and that. So their beliefs are very much shaky if convincing arguments are not made. So, respectable audience, today we talked about this, that Islam is a comprehensive religion. It bestows upon us, it puts forth comprehensive worldview, looking at human and at cosmos with specific characteristics. Secondly, we said that this question might rise in the minds of our viewers, that if everything is true, if everything is God-given, our God-given disposition is monotheistic, so why there are many atheists? We said that there are many factors that cause wrong thinking. There are many factors that cause wrong thinking. Some five elements were enumerated. The first was reliance on conjecture rather than on true knowledge. The second was bias and base desire. And the third was haste. And the fourth was traditional thinking and looking at our forefathers. And the fifth was the cult of personality. He who faces with these five factors, it will be hard for him to find the truth. May God bless us all, dear viewers and listeners, that we should shun all these factors that cause wrong thinking. And may Almighty Allah bless us all to be guided in the straight path and resurrect us with the noblest creatures in the life hereafter. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.